One God who created us, redeems us, and sustains us. Amen. Amen. So happy Trinity Sunday. That's why you all are here, right? Gotta put on your finest clothes, Trinity. Yeah. So I received a text this week from a community member who I know well and knows what I do in my life, such as being a clergy person. And they forwarded me a video from TikTok and asked me my thoughts. I love when I get these, they're great. The video started with, "Here are seven Christian doctrines that were invented after Jesus died." You can already tell what I think about this. "With the exact dates they were formalized, how many do you think came directly from Jesus?" Which I was like, well, you already kind of gave away what your point, but okay. And this comes from the Reasoned Reality Project, which I actually, they're a very interesting group to look through their stuff, and I don't disagree with all of it, although I think that they were a little off base. So I'm going to give you these seven doctrines, and we're going to play along to see how many of them directly came from Jesus. You ready? The Trinity. Who thinks the Trinity came from Jesus? All right, good. Not unexpected in this corner. So we'll get to there in a minute. The Trinity was formalized by the Council of Nicaea in 325. What about original sin as inherited guilt? Did that come from Jesus? No, that came around in about 397, early 400s. And do you know it's never adopted by the Eastern Church? That is only a Western Church concept. Purgatory.
Woo!
Nope. No, purgatory came around in about 1439. Now, here's the next one, Immaculate Conception, which, by the way, until I went to seminary, I thought Immaculate Conception was about Jesus being born from a virgin, but no, Immaculate Conception, just for those of you who are confused like I was, means that Mary was without sin from the moment of her conception as a living being. Yeah, Jesus never talked about that, you're right. 1854. I think this one's easy. Papal infallibility. This is when I was like, well, yeah, really? Yeah, Jesus didn't say anything about that. You're right. The rapture? Rapture came around in the 1830s. And then the last one, biblical inerrancy as formal doctrine. Yeah, there wasn't the Bible as we know it necessarily in Jesus' time. We had Torah, but do you know that the idea of biblical inerrancy did not really come around until about 1978? Yeah, I went down many rabbit holes prepping this sermon. But anyway, so back to this TikTok. So we get through the whole TikTok, and I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. But it ended with, I'm having a hard time again. Do it serious. None of these came from Jesus. None of them came from the apostles. Every single one was invented, debated, voted on, or formally declared by human institutions anywhere from 300 to 1900 years after the fact. The question worth asking is not whether these doctrines are true. Well, okay. The question is, why were you never told they were invented? By the way, there's some really bad grammar in there, too. I had to overlook that to get to their point. So I texted this person back after having gone through this and kind of being like, okay. And I said, well, huh, if you came to St. Cross, or I'd say most Episcopal churches, we teach exactly that. I don't know what the big issue is here. I also thank them for giving me the start to my Trinity sermon, because this TikTok makes a very good point that I will get to in a second. Because this Sunday, and always the first Sunday after Pentecost, is when we acknowledge that it is Trinity Sunday, which is not a specific event in Scripture such as Christmas or Easter or the Pentecost or the Ascension. We just concluded the Easter season, the 50 days, 7 Sundays after Easter, and during that time we read about resurrection and resurrection theology. And then we celebrated Pentecost last week with baptisms, and today we enter into what is called ordinary time. And not ordinary as in boring, but ordinary as in ordo. There is an order, and we will actually go through the Gospel of Matthew in order throughout the summer until we get to Advent. So we got some time on this. But in short, our church year is structured around scriptural events, with the exception of today, in which we do indeed acknowledge that we have doctrine. And I am here to tell you that yes, the doctrine of the Trinity was formalized, not invented, formalized in Nicaea in 325. But all we have to do is go back to the gospel today and hear again Jesus' instruction for baptism. Jesus says, and I quote, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of interesting. So you see, Jesus did have some understanding. It is coming from Scripture. Jesus goes on to say not only to baptize people, but after you baptize them, teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." So yes, this is a doctrine, but our doctrine is grounded in Scripture. It was not just a bunch of dudes, which, you know, there were always women around too, but we give the credit to the dudes, who sat around and were like, "I have an idea." No, we read Scripture, we looked, we listened, we prayed. Doctrine is not invented out of thin air in the Episcopal Church. So let us take a look at where this might come from. So I don't want to get into other people's doctrines. Let's just go with ours. We have the doctrine of the Trinity today. And look at Genesis, our very, very first book of the Bible. And we heard the creation story today. Thank you, Anne, for a great reading on that. And the very first verse refers to God as Elohim. It is a Hebrew word that can easily be translated as the plural. And in fact, is used as the plural when we get to the creation of humankind. And God says, "Let us make humankind in our own image, according to our likeness." Right there from the very beginning of creation, we have this idea of God not as a monolith, but God in relationship. And then actually perhaps one of my favorite verses from the Bible is Genesis 1:2, and it talks about the wind blowing, the ruach, which is the breath of God, blowing over creation and bringing creation out of chaos. Doctrine does indeed explain what we believe, and sound doctrine is firmly rooted in Scripture. And I did point out to the person, I was like, disagree with number one, but number, 2 through 7, yeah, probably I'm in agreement with that. Did Jesus, though, sit on the shores of the Galilee with his three-leaf clover and explain the Trinity? No, he did not. But there is ample scripture reference to make the doctrine of the Trinity sound, and I am happy to send you any of my 20-page papers from seminary, from my Trinity seminar, that go deeper into all of this. I am here for it. I actually love this doctrine. But regardless of that, I think the far, far more important question that faces us today isn't why were you not taught this, because you were, but how does the doctrine of the Trinity speak to us today? What does belief, faith in the Trinity mean for you and me, gathered here in our pews or even out in the world throughout this week? And I would say I believe the two most important concepts of the Trinity are the coexistence of connectedness and individuality. Each member of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, they are all equally important. One is not better than another. And yet each member of the Trinity is patently distinct from the other. And the very existence of the Trinity is grounded in relationship, that interconnectedness, where one cannot exist without the other. One is not whole without the other, and yet each is whole on its own. The early church father, Saint Augustine, in his search to understand the Trinity, used many metaphors, but we're only going to look at one today, and you have to excuse me while I slip into the heresy of modalism. And if you would like to know about that heresy, you should have been in adult ed today, where Michelle explained it all, and you'll just have to hit her up after the next service. Or see the video on my Facebook page. But St. Augustine referred to the Trinity as the lover, the beloved, and love itself. A person cannot love. There is not something to love. And something or someone cannot receive love if there is not another to share that with them. And then there is the fact of love that exists between the two of them, invisible and yet viscerally present. The God who created us, the God who lived among us, the God who sustains us has been revealed to us in the Trinity, a Trinity of persons and a unity of being. And this relationship, the very foundation of our faith, sets the ideal for all of the relationships in our life. God, one in three and three in one, Elohim, who moved over the waters at the dawn of creation and breathed life into death. God, the one in three, the three in one, Jesus, the Word, who commands his followers to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. God, the three in one, the one in three, the Holy Spirit, she who abides with us and binds us in community, in a community of faith, through her presence at our very baptism. This is the God. The God of relationship and love that we celebrate on this Trinity Sunday. And as we go out into the world, we remember that this God and of love and relationship is with us always to the end. Amen.